This Thursday at 7, Dr. Jane Glenchar will be the speaker this month. They meet here regularly. I've got a whole checklist of stuff up here. I hope you bear with me. As you know, we'll be leaving for Mexico on Tuesday. And if anybody would like to help us with the expenses and things, there's an offering basket here after church if you would like to help us. Amen? I'm sure there's other... Oh, right after church today, we need about 15, 20 minutes of your time. We're going to elect our deacons for the next year. And if you're a church member, we need you to stay to do that. And I promise we won't keep you very long. Amen? Let me find my Bible, because that's important. When they were talking, I couldn't help but... think of the scripture in Revelation chapter 12. I'm in the New Living Translation. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. I love to hear people testify when they're excited about what they're talking about. You know, if you go to a car dealer and he's not excited about the car he's trying to sell you, you're not going to buy it from him, are you? I don't care whether you buy the car or not. Well, he's not going to sell many cars. So we need to be excited about what God's doing. With all the doom and gloom going on in the world and politics and everything else, we can still be excited because God is on the throne. And the book of Revelation speaks about the future and what's going to happen. But it also speaks to the present because it was, is, and shall be. It unfolds in so many ways, and people are afraid to preach out of most of Revelation, but to me it's a good story. And as they were testifying, I read in verse 10, "Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, 'It has come at last.'" What has come at last? What has come for everyone in this room if you know the Lord Jesus Christ today? What has come? I want you to think back to your former life before you knew him and how undone and lost you were, without hope, in a hopeless world. But it says here, it has come at last. What has come? Number one, salvation has come. Thank God for your salvation today because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for salvation this day, that we can come into your house and celebrate that you have paid the price and saved our souls and saved our lives. And what else has come? What else has come? And power. When we testify to the things of God, there's power taking place. He takes powerless people and he makes them powerful. Look at your hand. You can lay that on somebody. These signs shall what? Follow them that who? Believe. Does that mean that anybody in here can lay hands on someone and there's power associated with it? First has come salvation, and then power, and then power ushers in the kingdom of God, because that power that he gives us from on high connects with the kingdom of God that is in us through salvation. The power of God, the kingdom of God is within you, but we get that jolt from the heavens, the Holy Spirit, and then it says the kingdom of our God has come. And what else has come? Go to the next verse. And the authority of Christ. Whose authority do you do things, Claudia? By whose authority do you speak? Melissa, by whose authority do you speak? Lonnie, by whose authority do you speak? Andrew, when you shared about communion, by whose authority do you speak? We speak by the risen Christ and his authority. Because he conquered the grave, he has authority. And God the Father has exalted his name above any other name. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he said, all authority belongs to me now. And I don't care what the world tells you. His authority is going to be displayed soon. Wow. It says, why? For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down. I believe that Satan's been thrown down. He's the accuser. How many of you remember a cartoon when you were a kid? We're going to date ourselves again. I forget what the cartoon was where this guy was always faced with a dilemma. And he had an angel on one side and a little devil with a pitchfork on the other. How many of you remember that? Come on now. It seemed so innocent at the time, but that's literally our lives right now. He's the accuser of the brethren, Satan, the evil one, and he has audience before God accusing you and me. He did it to Job, but we're going to go there in a minute. But it says, the one who, the accuser of our brothers and sisters have been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. How many of you feel like he's speaking things into your ear day and night? But God's voice has to be bigger than the voice that you're hearing of the world. He never gives up. But here's how we defeat him. And it says, and they, who's they? Me, you, we're all they. Say, I'm a they. Whosoever will. Wow. And they have defeated him by what? First, the blood of the Lamb. What saves you? The blood. What heals you? The blood. What keeps you? The blood. What's a barrier around you that the enemy can't get to you? The blood. What's our hope? The blood. What's our future? The blood. When we stand before it, it's all about the blood that was shed on Calvary that first brought salvation, then it brings power, and then it brings the kingdom of God. And if you're in here today and you don't know him, just step into the blood. It's a free supply for everyone in here. If you're having problems right now, just say, why do we pray that? You know how many times we pray and we don't even know what we're praying? We plead the blood of Jesus over someone. We don't deserve the blood, but we plead the blood. We take that blood to ourselves and we plead the blood over one another. The blood of Jesus gets everything done. And how do we overcome? With all the problems that are in this room. That's why I said lift them up to the Lord. With every problem that's in this room, how do you overcome? By the blood of the Lamb. And then what does that cause to take place of us? The word of our testimony. How many of you got a testimony in here today? Anybody? Well, I can't give you all the mic today. Everybody's got a testimony, but first comes the salvation, the blood of the Lamb, and then our testimony begins to take shape. That's what you share with people when you go places. A testimony is simply what God has done for you. Amen? Let me tell you what he's done for me. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Wow. That's powerful stuff there. So many times we leave off the last part of that verse. The blood gives us power, though. There are some, because of their testimony, that are being persecuted around the world today. Thank God we're not, but the day could come, and the blood is going to be more important then than it ever was in our lives. Because it gives us power, and it lets the kingdom of God come out. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. And verse 17. The blood applies to everybody. How many have you ever been told in here in your life that you never amount to nothing? Raise your hand. This is very real. It's very real. People told their whole lives that they'll never amount to anything. You know who appreciates the blood? It's people that have been told that they'll never amount to anything. Because the blood makes them something. Because our identity is with Christ. Look at verse 17 of 1 Peter. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. Because I'm a preacher, I don't get no more blood than you get. Ha ha! God has no favorites. Do this right now. Somebody stand to your feet right now and say, I'm God's favorite right now. Hey! But I thought God don't play favorites. No, we're all equal in here. So I'm God's favorite. You're God's favorite. You're God's favorite. You're God's favorite. You're God's favorite today. Some of you never been told that you're God's favorite. He's no respecter of persons. He died for Karen. He died for Gary. And the blood applies. Oh, sure he don't have no favorites because we're all his favorite today. And he will judge and our reward according to what you do, not according to what I do, according to what you do. The blood is applied to what you do. Oh, this is so exciting. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time as what? Foreigners. Foreigner. You know, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to be an illegal alien. We hear so much talk about that in the news. Illegal this, illegal alien. When you get to heaven, don't be an illegal alien. I don't know about you, but this is pretty exciting. Verse 18, for you know that God paid a what? You know that God paid a ransom. What is a ransom? Okay, Christian, this is where we go to war. Look at this. What's a ransom? God paid a ransom. Look what it said. This is a definition. A consideration paid or demanded for the release of someone or something from captivity. Let's read that again. What's a ransom? For God paid a ransom. With what? With his blood. And that ransom means that Tom, that Colette, that Andrew, by his blood, he paid a price that was demanded for your release. Nobody else could pay that price. Nobody else. He paid the price for my release or something's release from captivity. That's what the blood did. It paid the price for your release today. Say, I'm released. You believe it? His blood paid the price for my release. I got out of prison. Not literally, but spiritually. Nobody else could pay that. So let's read more about this ransom. Just leave that up there a minute. And it says, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you. Okay, go back to the, I'm sorry, Christian. I know how difficult it is sometimes with me, but for God paid a ransom to save you from what? The empty life. Oh, I love this. As they were testifying, and others of you got testimonies too. Aren't you glad that you don't live an empty life anymore? Think of all the things you used to do that had emptiness in them. How many times did you go down to the club at night and drink and wake up the next morning empty? The amazing thing is we're slow learners and we keep on going back and doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. Was the blood there? It was there, we just didn't recognize it. And people would tell us about it, and we'd say, you guys are crazy. Well, their testimony proves that God is real. We all come from the same cloth. Oh, let's read on. I got to get going here. Not only did he ransom you, he saved you from an empty life that you inherited sometimes from your ancestors. So right now, Father God, any emptiness that was transferred onto us, any generational curses that we're still living under, we just reject them now and we place them under your blood because they have no power over us. Sometimes we do things we don't even understand. Well, we reject those generational curses. We reject them now, and we put them under the blood of Jesus. Can you say amen? Wow. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God. They overcame him by what? The blood of the who? He was spotless. He was sinless. And God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. You know, God had a plan for me and for you before we even began. Think about that. That makes us special. That makes us favorites. God chose him as a ransom long before the world began, but now he has revealed him to you in these last days. Wow. What a cost he paid. Remember Job? What happened in Job chapter 1? Anybody tell me? Satan came before, said the accuser of the brethren came before the Lord. And he was going on with his usual stuff about me, about Gary, about all of us, about Darlene. That's his job. He does a real good job. And the Lord, God looked at him and he said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" You know, you might be going through something today, but I hope and I pray and I know that Jesus would say to the enemy, "Have you considered my servant Rick? Have you considered them?" And Satan says, "Well, I can't get to him because you have a wall of protection around him at all times." He said, "Take down the wall and we'll see what he'll do. Take down the wall." And God said, "Okay, I'll give you a time to do whatever you want, but you can't kill him." There was even a time when his wife said to him, and it doesn't make her bad, they were wore out. And she said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And he said, No. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Hallelujah. Satan accused Job before God and said, "Take your hand off of him and he'll curse you." He never did. And there's people all over this room today that you might be going through some stuff and Satan might say, "Hey, I got the best of them." And God's looking at them and saying, "Have you seen my servant Jan? She'll stand. Have you seen my servant John? They'll stand because they understand the power of the blood of Jesus and the freedom that comes through it. And they understand above all that he paid a ransom for you and for me to get us out of captivity." And Melissa said something when she was testifying. The amazing thing was, is Job at the end of it had a lot more than what he started with. And she said the same thing. Wow. He got it all back and then some. Wow. When Jesus was in the earth and he underwent his agony in the garden and he sweated as it was drops of blood. There's that blood again. You know, no matter how much we try, we can't get away from the blood. I said, no matter what you try, you can't get away from the blood. No matter how much you try not to talk about it, it keeps on popping up in the scriptures. A lot of people don't like to talk about the blood. I even have people that don't believe in Jesus say, "Why do you have such a bloody faith?" Well, because it's the blood that cleanses and sets free. Without a sacrifice, without repentance, there's no forgiveness of sin. Somebody has to pay the price. And before we came to the Lord, here's Satan's thing that he goes on with all the time. "I got this guy. I got this guy." All the people that went before Jesus came, they were being held captive. Remember what a ransom was. It says he went and preached to the captive, the what? The captive spirits. Everybody gets a chance, don't they? The blood gives everybody a chance. Say, the blood gives everybody a chance. Come on, work with me. I'll quit here in a couple of minutes. The blood gives everybody a chance today. You know what Satan does? He says, how much are you going to pay for them? How much are you going to pay for them? In the garden, Jesus said, Father, if there's any other way that we can get this done, let's figure it out real quick here. I'm sweating drops of blood right now. See, he knew what awaited him. I know you guys get tired of some of this stuff, but he was on this side of the cross. No, you don't get tired of it because it's the truth. Everything he did and said was on this side of God's promises. We stand on this side of God's promises. We know that it works. We know that it works. He said, Father, if there's any other way, take it away. Oh, I'm sweating here. I know what awaits me. He prophesied. He told the disciples that they were going to take him and they were going to scourge him and they were going to kill him. But on the third day, he rose from the dead. And Satan asked him that night in the garden, how much of a price are you going to pay? How much of a price are you going to pay? The accuser. In Matthew, remember when he tempted the Lord in the wilderness after he was weak? And he said, I'll give you all this if you'll bow down and worship me. Jesus looked at him and says, man, don't tempt the Lord your God. But he also said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So when you testify and you tell others about Jesus, your testimony is what other people can live by. Yeah. Whether they believe it or not is not the question. Finishing up. So Satan asked the question, what's everybody in this room worth? What are you worth? What are you worth? Put the next one up, Christian, if you would. The value. Thank you, Christian. Read this. The value of something is not the price. Let's just sink in a minute. This is how much you're worth. The value of something is not the price or how much it costs, but what you're willing to pay for it. That's how much value you have. That's how much value. Listen, I wasn't worth 2 cents. Anybody else know what I'm talking about here? Somebody say, I wouldn't give 2 cents for that guy. I still hear it today. He needs a kick in the rear end, and I wouldn't give you 2 cents for him. It's not the price tag on it. You can go into the fanciest store in town. It's not the price. It's how much you're willing to pay for it. How much are you willing to pay for the freedom that you have now in Christ Jesus? And when he looked at every one of us, when he looked at Josh, when he looked at all of us, and Satan, the accuser of the brethren, tempted him and said, you don't have to do this. You don't have. How much are you willing to pay for Dan Smith? How much are you willing to pay for Meredith? How much are you willing to pay for Lonnie? And he said, I'll pay with everything I got. I'll pay with my blood. That was his answer. That's how much you're worth today. He didn't consider the price that other people put on you. He didn't consider that other people said, you'll never amount to nothing. He doesn't care about that. He looks at you and he says, this is what I'm willing to pay for them. My blood. You belong to God. You don't belong to the enemy. If you think you have no worth, you will defeat him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And then the last part says, and they love not their lives even unto death. He's the example of that. They love not their lives even unto death. That's how much you're worth. That's how much you're worth. Did you ever get your eye on something and you look at the price tag and you say, boy, that's pretty steep there. Anybody ever do that? When I watch men at the mall, I don't go to the mall often, but men and women have two different, completely different routines. If you get the man to go in the first place, and you can tell what they're talking about from a distance. I can see somebody all the way across the room at Macy's or Dick's Sporting Goods or something, and you know they're having a talk because someone will say, oh man, we need this, we need that, we need this, we need that. And the guy's always kind of, well, I'm going to go sit down for a while out here in the... I'll be here when you... But if you've ever got your eye on something and you said the price is too steep, but if you really want it, you'll pay it, won't you? Because there's something more important than the price. And that more important is how much you're willing to pay for it. Amen. Can you be encouraged in that today? He was willing to pay that much. So next time somebody says, you know what, you ain't worth much, you're not a very good preacher, you're not a very good this, you're not a very good that. That's all the accusers, what it is, telling you you can't do anything. There's missions calls in this room. There's people that God is going to stretch them out beyond the capacity that they ever thought they'd have. And I don't care what people say to you, and I know it is all motivated by the enemy that tells you you couldn't do nothing. And as I shared a couple weeks ago, when we first started out in Mexico, Nancy was there, the rest of them were there. We never believed we couldn't do stuff. No matter what people told you. Jerry, where is Jerry? Is he still here? Jerry, come back in the office today and just prayed the sweetest prayer over me. He said, when you go this time, I hope you get to enjoy the fruits of the labor that you guys put in down there. And please don't look at me, but look at what God did for me. He took somebody that was worthless, that didn't even have a father except for 4 years, and he turned it around and he said, that's what I'm willing to pay for him. So don't ever say again that God doesn't see you, don't hear your prayers, or you're not special, because he paid that price for all of us today. And we need to start believing that we can do anything again. And Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do what? All things. How can you do all things through the blood of Jesus? Because thank God salvation has come, and the power of God and the kingdom of God that lives within you, he's going to begin to draw it out right now all over this place and all over your lives. You believe it? He paid. He paid. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Ooh-wee. Right on time. Amen. Well, if there's anybody in this room today that you're tired of getting accused and you're tired of getting run down by the enemy, and you just want to say, you know, he paid a great price. Listen, last part. I have so many last parts. If you were in jail, now you know where I'm going. This is so simple, but it's profound. If you were in jail and somebody said, Mark, I'm going to come. What's your bail? Oh, $10,000. I'm going to pay that. I'm going to pay your ransom. I can't imagine Mark saying, no, you know what? I think I'll just chill out here for a while. I think I'll just stay right here. I don't think there's anybody in this room unless you're... It wouldn't say, thank you. Thank you for paying that. Man, I don't have 2 cents, and I'm not worth 2 cents, but you paid that ransom for me. Thank you for doing that. Thank you. You wouldn't say, no, I think I'll get 3 or 4 meals before I leave this place. You say, let me get out of here before the accuser or somebody changes their mind. And you'd beat out that door so fast, and the thank yous would be coming so strong. And that's what he offers us today. Whether you're saved, whether you have issues, remember what a ransom is. It's a consideration. It's paid for someone or something so that they can escape captivity. Thank you, Lord. Play something.